Irreverent, entertaining, cool. You're listening to LA Talk Radio.
You're listening to the Dr. Deborah and Therapist Kelly Show, only on LA Talk Radio.
Hi, welcome. I'm Dr. Deborah.
Hi, it's Therapist Kelly.
How are you? I'm okay. I'm excited. The Eagles won.
Were you rooting for them?
Yeah, we put all these bets on at the beginning of the season without
any games
playing. All eight teams that we had lost.
Okay.
So 2 games before the Super Bowl, we bet a bet on the Eagles to win that game and the Super Bowl.
Uh-huh.
2 separate bets. And we killed.
How much did you win?
Well, we'll be positive about 150 after paying off all of our other debts. Yeah, so that'll cover our hockey bets.
Oh my God. I didn't know you were so into this.
It's the only way you could get me to actually watch a game.
Yeah,
I have to have something at stake. You know,
I
don't have any passion for any particular team,
right.
So it's fickle. I could be very excited for the Eagles this year, and next year I pick a different team.
Sure.
Like I had Kansas City. They started out stellar. They had 5 games in a row win, and then they bombed.
Maybe this is the key to my marriage, that if I bet on this and my husband, he wants me to be more involved in this. So this is actually a great idea.
I like it. I'll discuss that with him and see what he says.
It's so funny. That's awesome. Do you have people over or was it just you?
We went to a friend of ours actually hosted, so we didn't have to do anything.
Did you make your chili?
No, I didn't make anything. I did make my guacamole.
I knew it. There was no way you're going empty-handed. You're like Betty Crocker. There's no way.
The guacamole was good. Everybody ate it up so fast. I mostly made it for Christopher because usually at these things, he doesn't eat so much of the food that they put out.
Right.
You know, so he doesn't like chicken. He doesn't eat meat. You know, he'll eat fish.
God,
who makes fish at a barbecue? I mean, at that kind of party.
Wow.
So there was only 2 women. However, I was the only woman for the first half.
Oh, wow. Uh-huh.
So I got in my fucks. Potty mouth.
Good
for
you.
How are you?
Good. We had a really nice time. We had some people over, and, you know, I wasn't sure what sport they were watching, but, you know, I played along. No, and it was good. It was a good game. I actually was into it.
Yeah.
Yeah, it really was.
It was really good. It was well matched and good football.
Right.
Yeah.
It was really good.
Do you have any sports that you like?
So I used to be into football. This is how I got David to marry me. I said I was into football when we were first dating, because I really was, because I went to University of Florida and I was into it and really liked the college football, and then that was it. I transitioned out.
Well, I hate to break the bad news to you, but that's how my marriage ended. I pretended to be interested in football. He was so interested in football.
This
I was like,
so funny.
This is not going to work.
Right.
But also baseball, also basketball.
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, there was a game on all the time. So Sundays after 9 hours of hanging out at the house, it's like, this isn't gonna work.
That's so funny. Yeah. So
anyway, so what else is going on? You want to send your kids off for adoption?
Pretty
right?
much. Mm-hmm. That's.
She's only
lightly.
Kidding because
yes.
someday
exactly.
you guys
don't,
are going to listen to this.
Don't call me. Yes, our little one is gonna put me either in an insane asylum, Alcoholics Anonymous, or another
version.
Program. Yeah.
Yeah.
Pretty much.
Yeah. Okay. What was his latest and greatest?
The latest and greatest was yesterday driving on the highway from the doctor's office. I can't even remember what he wanted. I'm trying to remember. He was screaming and got so... I was ignoring him, and he got so angry. He wears rain boots. That's all he wears. Rain or shine. And he takes off his rain boots.
The rubber ones? The little yellow ones?
Mm-hmm. Takes off his rain boots. And he's a strong dude.
Oh, yeah.
And so
he missed me. He
by
did.
A little bit. But if that would have hit my head, I don't know.
Powerhouse with poor aim.
Yeah.
You were lucky.
So I was like trying to maintain my composure, like, because I was like, I don't want to, engage. So luckily I zened, put myself on a beach somewhere else in another land. But yeah, that's the latest.
All right. So he escalated because you were ignoring him.
Yes.
So can you continue down that path? Because that's how it's going to end.
What, you think if I keep doing this, he'll...
You got to ignore him.
I've been doing this for 3 years.
Still
what else
working.
You got? No, I'm open to any suggestions.
You know what? Maybe he's the opposite kid. Maybe you need to pull over, and you need to look at him, and you look him in the eye, make eye contact, and say, what are you trying to tell me?
Right. Yeah, I'll do it. I swear to God, if you're like, stand on your head, do a rain dance, and then I'll do it.
I learned with Tiffany timeout was the worst thing on the planet. The only thing she remembers negative about childhood was that I put her in timeout. She would scream bloody murder for an hour, like till she was completely hoarse because she felt abandoned.
Right.
You know? Exactly. So it was like, this thing sucks.
Yeah.
So what I did with her instead is I say, okay, we're both going into timeout. We're going to sit together. I'd put her on my lap and I would rock her and tap her, like the tapping thing.
Yes.
And she would calm down and we would just start over.
All right,
she was not the kid that you could put in timeout.
I don't know any kid who's like does well with it. Maybe there are some, but
it was the thinking for a while, but it was stinking thinking, right?
Right.
Yeah. Ugh. You poor thing.
I know.
But you look more beautiful every time I see you.
Oh, stop. I love you. You're
age
so cute.
Age becomes you.
I'm serious that it's meditation because I meditate twice a day. That's what keeps me sane and normal.
You
somewhat
think you're sane?
Exactly. I was just gonna say,
I'm not sure how that happened.
All right, let's talk about last week. Speaking of crazy and erotic, we had doctors. How did she say her name?
Saida.
Saida.
And then Saida Desoulay.
Yes. And she wrote the book Awakening Our Erotic Innocence. She was great. She was so inspiring.
So did David benefit this last week?
I'll plead the fifth. But I do use. I'm still using this jade egg. Yeah. So if you missed that show,
I'm not in.
I'm surprised. I feel like you'd be open to that. Literally and
well, I don't know if down there would be open to that. I might be up here.
So if you missed that last show, you'll know what we're talking about. If not, you know, go back to our
stick
iTunes.
A jade thing up your
twat.
Yeah.
Pretty much.
That's it.
Yes.
Yeah. And you carry it along all day long. It's an odd sensation, is it?
I can't even feel it, really, until it comes out. And then it's like, whoa. Like I told you the last time when I was walking down the street. Other than that, you can't feel it. All right. So we have amazing in-studio guest today. I'm super excited.
Okay. You found him. You read him.
Okay. All right. So Maddox is a genius, author, visionary, and super handsome. He's a New York Times bestselling author of 3 books, a very successful YouTube channel with over 44 million views, and is the author of one of the long-running comedy websites on the internet titled The Best Page in the Universe. His new book, Fuck Whales, is the testament to the triumph of mankind's intellect, with essays spanning the entire gamut of subjects and people he's deemed worthy of his ire. From dubious folksy wisdom, such as you're allowed to fail, to the freedom he feels after disappointing his loved ones, every essay is replete with hilarity and thoughtful observations. Maddox has even found a way to skewer beloved American poet and Pulitzer Prize recipient Robert Frost. Good. Welcome.
Thank you so much for having me.
We're so excited to have you here.
I am so relieved you can say fuck. Because I was thinking in my mind right before the interview, I'm like, how am I going to dance around? Because every title starts with the F word.
Yeah, it's F every chapter. Asterisk CK. That would be very cumbersome to say over and over again.
Just F whales, I guess, if it needs to be radio friendly. But yeah, that's a huge relief. Thank you.
You are welcome. Yeah. Go at it. As many F bombs as you can. Yeah. Tolerate today.
By the way, that intro paragraph that you read, that's kind of like it's been kind of evolving over time with the publisher. The publisher sent me like, hey, why don't you try this and do this and whatever, and I'll just keep adding things in there, and you can tell exactly. It's like, and he's super handsome, and I'm like, oh my god, they read that.
But I love reading that because that's one of the things this is how I found you, is on LinkedIn, and you, and like one of your things is like very handsome, and I'm like, and then I emailed you and I'm like, you are very handsome, but we'd love to have you on the radio show, something like that.
Great.
So I love it like fits your personality.
So LinkedIn, that's super weird because I didn't even know that anyone checked my LinkedIn. I thought it was a bogus bullshit thing that I just put up one day. Because my skills on there are like bow hunting, knife fighting, you know, hand-to-hand combat.
Yeah.
And I speak something like 46, 48 languages. Yeah, every language.
Right.
It's all on there. It's like Chinese, Spanish, everything. Like old English, like Norse English. I speak it.
Can you speak any other language?
A little bit, yes. I'm Armenian, so I can speak Armenian.
Oh, right.
There's
okay.
that, yeah. And then a little bit of Chinese. So, there's a little bit of that.
So you're one of the ones that you don't trust on LinkedIn. You embellish the crap out of everything.
No.
No,
it's all real, yeah. No, but yeah, I mean, it's kind of a mix because there is some accurate information on there, like my publishers, Simon & Schuster, I've written 2 books with, and then Kensington was my first book. So there is some actual accurate information on
there. That's where I got it.
Yeah, and I think I listed my university on there as well. I don't remember if I did.
Yeah, I don't either.
Yeah.
You had me at handsome. That was good enough.
Did you put your real age?
I don't know. What does it
say? I don't even think they have ages on there.
They don't? They do on Facebook.
Yeah, no, but this is professional, so I don't think they had it.
No ages? No. I don't remember what's on mine.
If it is, it's probably 69 or right. something. Yeah. You know, something stupid like that, yeah. So.
Do you ever update your LinkedIn?
You know what? I just did. I just did recently, but not normally. Yeah. I'm not on it that much. I was just searching for authors, right. and it was like I came across you, and it's great. Yeah,
super cool.
It was kind of random.
Yeah.
So I'll be just bold. Who are you?
Yeah, that's a good question.
How did you become?
Yeah,
Maddox?
We want to know everything.
That's a good question because this is not my typical audience. Mm-hmm. This is a new audience, and every time I do, I don't take anything for granted in terms of like what people know about me, what people don't. So that's a great question. I started out in 1997 when I was I think 16 years old. I created this website because I had this free web space, and I thought, well, you know what? I'm going to make the best page in the universe. And this was pre-Google, by the way.
Oh, wow.
Google, yeah, Google didn't exist at this time.
Oh, my God.
Only Yahoo. Uh-huh. And so I created this website called The Best Page in the Universe, and I thought, you know what? I'm going to list it on Yahoo. And back then, you had to manually submit your website for it to get listed.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, and how it became listed is somebody, an actual human, would visit your website and then write an index.
Stop.
Yeah, and they had to write a description of my website. So I thought, great, I'm going to do the best page in the universe. It's going to be a bunch of bullshit. And so and so I was going to submit it. But it was against Yahoo Terms of Service that you could have the quote the best in the title of your name.
Okay.
So I thought, well, that sucks. I can't even get my website listed. I said, well, fuck it. I'm going to keep it anyway. And there was one other page called the best page in the universe at the time, and it was like a... not even mice. It was like a GeoCities page for a guy's cat. And I thought, no, I can do better than this. So I opted to not get listed in Yahoo. And I thought, you know what? Fuck it. I'm just going to keep it the best page in the universe.
Uh-huh.
Years later, I wrote this piece that went super viral on the internet. It's called I Am Better Than Your Kids. And that was
well. Anybody's better than no,
exactly.
I'm
that's the truth. Yeah.
I will compete. I will compete with any kid. And so this piece went super viral to the point where I mean, my website went from a few thousand hits per night per day to a few million overnight.
Whoa!
Yeah,
that's amazing.
And my internet service provider, XMission in Utah, they're fantastic. They're super great. They helped keep my website up and running during the traffic surge, and they. Like most people thought that this was just going to be a fluke and the traffic would die down after the piece went away and that was that. Right. It never really did. And then I got a book deal out of it.
Oh my God.
And I got a second book deal and this is my third book. And
they approached you?
That's amazing.
Wow.
Yeah.
Oh, in our dreams.
Exactly.
My editor sent me an email.
Uh-huh.
Said, hey, you want to write a book? And I wrote back and was like, yep. And that was pretty much it. I hadn't met the guy until I think after the book came out. I didn't meet any of the illustrators until after the book came out. Like, it was basically an internet product.
Uh-huh.
You know, a production completely born and raised on the internet. And eventually, after the book came out, I met some of the illustrators. I think I've met them all now, except for one. There's one guy, I think Jim from the first book. But anyway, that's how that came
started.
To be. And since then, I've grown into YouTube, as you mentioned earlier. 44 million views on that, and working on an animation video game, and just keep writing and producing content.
Now, were you doing stand-up also, or just writing?
Just writing at the time.
Okay.
Now, when I came to Los Angeles, I did do improv.
Ah.
And that was for two reasons. When I first came out here, I thought I had more friends than I did. I knew people in L.A. Uh-huh. And for the listeners who are outside of L.A. who don't know this, if you basically live more than a mile away from somebody, you will never
never
see them.
Never see them.
Never.
No.
Right.
It's, especially like, Santa Monica might as well be another planet.
It's Mars.
Or country. And and same for me with Silver Lake. Silver Lake is, and really, for anyone outside of L.A., the distance between these two areas is about 5 miles.
It's true. It's
and you
so
think,
true.
What's the big deal? It will take you 20 minutes per mile, so that's about an hour of travel for you to go meet your friend. So I thought I had more friends than I did, and I found the distance thing very prohibitive for a friendship. So I decided to take improv classes to make more friends, and also for the second reason is to come out of my shell a little bit. I always felt I was very shy.
You have a shell?
Really?
Absolutely. Yeah, I've
I
changed.
I love this.
It's something I worked on.
You know what? I was a super uber shy kid. Super uber. Yeah, I would hide behind my mom, and I didn't really like my mom, but I hid behind her anyway. Right. That, like, somehow she was going to protect me. She would throw me to the wolves if she could. But yeah, so how did you find that improv helped you with that?
Oh, it's definitely a skill that you learn. Being able to talk, like, nothing will get you out of your head faster than being able to stand in front of a room full of 150 strangers with nothing to say.
Right.
You have to think on your feet.
Yeah.
You have to learn these skills. You have to make eye contact. You have to be able to, you know, connect with people.
Sure.
And have something to say and be, you know, become interesting and have, you know, thoughts and be able to share them. If you had met me about 10, 11 years ago, we probably wouldn't be able to make eye contact.
Oh,
I would
really?
Oh, yeah. I was so shy. I was just that dorky dude, just kind of like looking down like, shucks kind of guy. Uh-huh.
The dorky handsome dude.
Oh, thank you. Yeah, well... I mean, I didn't think that, though. It was like it was a combination of things with, you know, low self-esteem and, you know, shyness and growing up. And I had sounds like you had a mom similar to mine. I didn't like my mom for who knows for whatever reasons. But, you know, which is over time has you know, we've built more of a relationship. But, yeah, there's a huge... I guess just a stew of things that built my character and who I am today.
I have to make one correction. It's not that I didn't like my mom. I didn't like that my mom didn't seem to like me.
Oh, okay. Well, that's an important distinction.
Yes. Yes, because I think she could have been likable if she weren't so angry.
I could say the same. Very similar.
Yeah.
Very similar moms, you and I. Yeah.
Yeah.
Where did you grow up, by the way?
Utah.
That's where you're originally from.
Born and raised, yeah.
Okay.
Lived there for 27 years and finally escaped.
God.
Yeah.
That's amazing.
Yeah.
Okay, so I'm obsessed with, I sent you the video, the shitty inventions.
Oh, yeah.
Like, literally, like, pee, there was a drop of pee that came out of me. And I'm not exaggerating. Okay,
Are you sure it wasn't Jade?
It wasn't the Jade. This was pre-Jade.
Okay.
But the one with the toilet, the automatic toilet, I was, like, dying. But anyway, so obviously you're super cynical, and I want to know, are you like that naturally? Is this, like, who you are? Is this funny, Maddox? Like... Yeah.
Well, this is Maddox, and this is the persona I've created for the writing.
Mm-hmm.
In real life, it's a toned down version. It's a much more toned down version.
Got it.
Because that would be an obnoxious person to be around all the time. And people who find Maddox first and then meet me in real life are always shocked that I'm more polite and affable
yes,
than they would imagine.
Yeah.
And then vice versa. People who know me in real life and then find Maddox are also shocked.
Uh-huh.
They're like, we didn't know you had this in you.
Yeah.
Yeah. Where did this come from?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So, yeah, it's there is a lot of cynicism there, though.
Right. But I love it. That's what's
you.
So funny.
And why so cynical?
Well, it's a petty type of cynicism where I complain about a lot of things that don't matter. Like, for example, the invention video that you mentioned, I complain about bendy straws.
Oh, yeah.
And it seems like such a trivial thing, but I could talk for hours about bendy straws.
About the stupidity
I
of
hate
bendy
them.
Straws.
Oh, my God. Well, I'm just
so much.
Envisioning you, like, trying to get the straw in the mouth, and that had me dying. Because, like,
oh,
you were trying to, like, get it in, like, as you know, it was just very funny.
Oh, yeah. And when I was recording that, so there's this video where I'm talking about shitty inventions. I'm talking about the bendy straw, and me and my... director, producer, you know, brought some bendy straws on set so we could, you know, put on this show that I was trying to struggle with the bendy straw. Didn't even have to put it on. First take, that's literally me just grasping for the straw like an idiot. And my mouth is doing that like jellyfish thing, like a puckered asshole, and I'm just like angry, and then the straw swings around like a pendulum.
Yeah, it did.
Yeah, and it's dripping stuff, and then there's like all this B-roll too that we never ended up using. I'm like, look, we just made a mess of the floor. They're gonna kill me because you're not supposed to have any kind of drinks in the green screen studio.
Oh.
The green screen studio. And I'm like, blame it on the straw, the shitty invention. And then I went down the rabbit hole. I'm like, where did this come from? Where did this straw come from? Who invented this? Why is this the thing?
Right.
And it turns out it was a guy who wanted to make it a little bit easier for his children to drink milkshakes because the milkshake straw was taller than...
Oh, right. And so they had to lean over.
Like in the 50s. So, and then there's all this stupid technology that was invented to create this bendy straw because that perforate, that ripple,
it's like
a non-trivial problem that they had to fix. It's an engineering, like some of the best, the brightest minds in the world sat down at one point and thought about how to engineer that ripple in a straw. Meanwhile, no cure for cancer.
Right, exactly. So true.
Yeah.
Okay, well, now when I was 18 years old, I had a thought for a toothpaste cap that is now out.
Oh, you thought
that's stupid? Yeah, the flip one that stays on.
Oh,
that's not stupid.
Yeah, no, it's not stupid.
Yep, my boyfriend had a guy who was a mold maker, and we were supposed to make it, and then they said, "Oh, that's really dumb. It's not going to catch on." And I'm like, "Really?" And then you know, when it came out, whatever years later, it's like, "God darn it!
Oh my God, that's
I'd
so
be cool. sitting in the top of."
Yes.
Oh, whatever. But that's not stupid, right?
No, not stupid.
Tell me that's not stupid.
Absolutely not.
Okay, now he's going to make fun of that.
No, I think
he probably will in his next act.
No, it's a smart one. I think that if you come up with an idea that either already exists and you didn't know, mm-hmm. or you come up with an idea that then becomes great, you are every bit as ingenious as the person who invented it.
Well, so thank you.
Yeah,
I feel
agree.
Good about myself today. Yeah. And very pretty.
Yeah. Yeah. Feels good, right? I started, this is my new thing. I started taking credit for things like just randomly. Especially if somebody's going to give me credit. Like the other day, we were at a Korean barbecue with a friend of mine, and he was like looking at this tree. He's like, "Wow, that's a really nice tree." And I just said, "Thank you." I'm just going to take it. I'm going to take wherever I can get it. It makes me feel good.
Yes.
You know?
And that's what life's about, right?
Yeah.
We should all just be feeling good.
Why not?
It's much better than feeling bad.
Yeah, you can choose to feel
but
bad.
This will segue perfectly. I love your hate mail on your website. Okay, so if you go to his website, he has hate mail. And it is hilarious. And so
Thank
I
you.
Love that. It's like you took that and just ran with it.
So people write hate mail to you.
Yes.
Yeah, wow.
I get a lot of hate.
Why?
Because people are assholes. That's why. And they're jealous.
Everything. They're jealous. Yeah. They're assholes. They don't understand the satire. They are opinionated and they are mean. Like they, people. I'm kind of known as like this pirate badass, and I have this like this whole persona and everything.
Yeah.
But the people who send me hate mail don't understand that they are. Doing something much, much worse than anything I have ever done or could do.
Because you're not trying to hurt anybody. I'm not.
And also, if I write something that offends you,
don't read it.
It's because
exactly.
you came to me. You came to my website. But what these people do is they are bringing their hatred to me that I didn't invite.
Yes.
I'm not asking you to criticize me. I'm not asking you to criticize my looks, my friends, my family, my girlfriend, any of that stuff.
Sure.
You know, it comes from a place of pure hatred. Hatred and vitriol. So I say to them, I say, look, I am writing an anonymous, basically a criticism of this idea or concept. Mm-hmm. I rarely attack individuals.
Sure.
And if I do, it's usually like a public figure, like a celebrity or a politician. Mm-hmm. But
well deserved.
Yes.
Usually, yeah. And so, it does come from a deep place of pettiness too. but what they are doing is they are attacking an individual personally. And they're making it personal, and they have sought them out. So what they have done, essentially, is rather than making an anonymous criticism, they've come knocking on my door, and they're bringing it to me, which is infinitely worse, I think. Because they don't know me.
Yeah, of course.
They don't understand my motivations, what I write. But I think I get a lot of hate because I piss everyone off. Especially politically, I don't identify with any particular party. I criticize the left and the right, and it pisses people off.
Yeah,
people every time. I mean, I'll say something. I'll criticize like a wage gap disparity argument, right? Mm-hmm. And then in the same breath, I'll say, okay, well, there's something to this, argument about victim blaming when it comes to rape and things like that, and it pisses everyone off. They want to pigeonhole you. Nobody wants to listen to the nuance of an argument anymore. Mm-hmm. Nobody wants to get down to the granularity and really understand what somebody's all about.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
I totally agree.
So I think that's probably why I get a lot of hate. People expect something of me when they have no right to.
Yeah.
But I feel like what's so funny is that they're making themselves look so bad, and they're feeding you even more by sending this hate mail. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah,
it's like,
yeah.
So how do you respond directly to them? Because I didn't see that part of it.
Sometimes. This guy a while back, there's a guy who messaged me actually just about a few months ago. He said, "Hey, Maddox, you know, you're not really explaining things very well lately, and I think you're doing, if you really respected your fans, you would actually take the time to explain things to us." And I wrote back to him and said, "Listen, man, I've made it very clear in my 20-year career over the course of my entire life that I do not respect my fans. I want to make that very clear.
That's very funny.
Thanks, yeah.
That's, I love that.
So you're out, Kelly.
What do you mean?
He says he doesn't respect his fans.
I know, exactly.
I mean, you know, but everything I say is with a grain of salt. But here's the thing, though. Fans are fickle.
Right.
I have people, yeah. they tend to expect something from you. They tend to expect, they feel entitled, mm-hmm. right? So if you don't deliver something that is funny or that is poignant or that is a point of view that they agree with, they will turn on you in a heartbeat.
Yeah, you're as good as your last joke, right?
Absolutely.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, that's
absolutely.
So common in that mm-hmm. industry.
That's so upsetting.
Kelly is very loyal, though, I will tell you
I was
that.
Just thinking that would
She's
never
a
be me.
Fan.
Like, yeah, but that's, I guess you're right. I never thought about that. That's so sad. It's
they're
like,
very fickle.
Yeah.
They'll turn on you. And they expect, and they're manipulative. They're so manipulative.
Yeah.
They will withhold their affection in the terms of, you know, fanship.
Right.
So they'll say, if you don't do this for me, I will stop being your fan.
Oh, my Boy. God.
And my response to them is, fuck
you.
Fuck right off.
Yeah, exactly.
I didn't ask for this.
Right.
I didn't ask for you.
Right.
I'm
right.
doing you a favor. Here's you're
That's
allowed
so
to
funny.
Demand zero from me.
Right. Exactly.
I owe you nothing. This is free entertainment. This is free fucking entertainment. You bought my book, great. If you bought my book, that's a different story. That's a
sure.
transaction.
Right.
You're allowed to criticize my book. You paid for it.
Right.
But this is free entertainment you're criticizing, and then you making demands of me? Who the hell are you? Nobody's making demands of you.
Right.
I'm not knocking on your door asking you for something that I was never entitled to or should
right.
never expect.
True.
Yeah.
True. If you just turned in, we are talking with Maddox, who is an author of several books and all kinds of cool things, but today we're promoting him for Fuck Whales. What I love about this book in the contents, the titles, they're precious.
It's beyond.
Can I just
Thanks.
Say a
yeah,
few?
Please, yeah.
Yeah, so we've got, well, Fuck Whales is the premise, and maybe you'll tell us about
mm-hmm.
that a little
sure.
bit, but we got Fuck Trees, Fuck Families, Fuck Cupcakes. Cupcakes.
Yeah, cupcakes.
I gotta hear this. Fuck people who are afraid of lightning and thunder.
That is
Where
so
did you come up?
I love
you just,
this.
Do you just randomly come up with these things, or you're on a topic and then it just comes up?
They're just rants I've had stored away for years. I was thinking of them, and I'm like,
yeah.
you know what? I see someone afraid of lightning and thunder. I say, fuck them.
Yeah, I love it.
That's a stupid thing to be afraid of.
It's really
Fuck
funny.
Baby talk.
Oh,
why?
That's
Mommy, just, why?
Yeah, that's so annoying. I agree. Really
adults who baby talk to
oh,
their
the
kids.
Worst.
Yeah.
yeah.
That's really funny.
Come
it's,
here, little.
It's yeah. condescending, yeah. don't you think? Like, and if you talk to, I don't know, if I talk to another adult like that, I'd get punched.
No, for sure.
And I would expect to. Because
mm-hmm.
that's a very condescending thing to do. But when you do it to babies, it's like you're making them almost less than, you know, I think,
yes.
I don't know. I don't have any kids, so I don't know what
right.
the fuck I'm talking about when it comes to kids. This is my own just philosophy and theory.
Sure.
So.
Well, you were clever here. You did say fuck children, but don't.
Yeah.
Right, exactly. That's smart.
Yeah, that's an important one.
In this climate, that was very important.
Yeah.
That's true.
Yeah.
That's really
I funny. Wanted to add a little addendum in there.
Yeah, I think know. It was a good one. So tell us what this premise, fuck whales.
Yeah, so the entire book is just full of rants and satire mm-hmm. and essays. So fuck whales. When I first started my website in 1997, one of the first articles I wrote
uh-huh.
was... whales are drinking all the water and eating our sailors. And that was the title of the piece. And it was just basically that sentence. And I drew a picture of a whale eating some sailors. And I got so much hate mail for that for that piece. And I'm like, how could anyone take this seriously? There's an MS Paint drawing of a whale eating sailors. It's dumb. And so I thought, you know what? I'm going to troll them. I'm going to run with this, and I'm going to double down, and I'm going to mm-hmm. say, no, whales are eating all our sailors. And as recently as about a year ago when I wrote that book, I got a long string of emails where I was arguing with someone who was saying, no, Maddox, you have your facts wrong. Whales don't eat any sailors. And I'm like, wow, this is a real dumb one. And so I started stringing her along, and
uh-huh.
I wrote back to her, and I said, and I kept sending her pictures. I sent her an illustration of the cover of a Moby Dick book. It's an illustration. I said, here's evidence that whales eat sailors. And she wrote back, this is the dumbest thing. I can't. She wrote back, she sent me a picture of a whale, a beluga whale with a kitten by its side. Like, you know, it's coming out of the water. Like, see, whales are peaceful. Also, those humans were attacking the whale. That was her argument. Not that it was an illustration. She decided to try to defend the whale's motives, a fictional whale, in a painting.
This is so funny. I'm dying. Oh, my God.
You know, since we are a live call-in show, anybody who would like to call in and say your piece, please do so at 323-203-0815. 323-203-0815. Clearly, Maddox is not afraid of any question
I love
on the
that.
Planet.
My God.
Is that true?
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, yeah, there's a... I tend to lean into the criticism that I get. Mm-hmm. Because doing what you do, if you can't handle the criticism, if you can't, handle people being upset, then you shouldn't be doing it, I think. Mm-hmm. But, again,
it
comes...
being offended, right?
Exactly.
Right there in the book.
That's one of the chapters, absolutely,
yes.
Yeah. Fuck being offended, because I thought about offense, right? How do you take offense? And then I thought about that phrase, taking offense. It's like, it's something we do mm-hmm. actively. Mm-hmm. You have to choose to be offended. There was an interview with this... recently online with this guy, I think it's Jordan B. Peterson, maybe? Jordan B. Peterson, I think. And he was interviewed with someone, and she asked him a question, very pointed. She says, well, why is your right to free speech more important than the right not to be offended? And he turned it around on her, and he said, well, you're asking me a very pointed question that I've taken offense to. Should I not take offense to that? Is that something that I shouldn't take offense to? I mean, it really goes back to what is offensive? Mm-hmm. Like, there's very few things that would be universally offensive. And I actually created a table in that book.
I saw that. Oh my God, that was so funny. With like obese people.
Right.
Like, this is what offends them.
Yes.
You know, homosexuals, this is what offends them.
Black people, white people, women, yeah. men. There's something mm-hmm. that offends every group.
Right, exactly.
And I really broke it down by the actual group. It's in the Fuck Being Offended chapter, this table. And then my friends kind of challenged me. They're like, oh, yeah, well, what offends white people? I'm like, you kidding me?
Yeah.
You want to go down this route? Okay, let's do it. How about talking about white privilege? That's something that mm-hmm. really upsets That really uh-huh. upsets people. And then when you get down to it, you think, yeah, there is a lot that really does offend a lot of different groups. Mm-hmm. So my rule of thumb is this. If you are offended by more than five things, you're probably too sensitive. And the reason is because no one person intersects with more than five of those groups. So you can
yes.
be black, a woman uh-huh. who's gay, uh-huh. all right? Those are three different groups where you could be offended by, right? You
right.
can be offended by things that offend black people, you could be offended by things that offend women, and uh-huh. you could be offended by things that offend gay people. But the more groups that you're a part of, it's the less likely you exist.
right. That
right?
makes sense.
Yeah, like yeah. how much more can you be offended?
Uh-huh.
So yeah, anyway.
I would love to know who inspires you. Like, you know, who are your favorite comics and or even growing up, who did you love?
Himself, don't you know that?
First yeah. and foremost, myself. Thank
right.
you. Thank you, Dr. Deborah. Yes. But I would say, interestingly enough, talk radio.
Really?
Talk radio has been my biggest inspiration for my writing and
oh
growing up and everything. I grew up listening to the Don and Mike radio show out of
yes.
WJFK
yeah.
in D.C. I listened to Stern, Phil Hendry, Tom Likas. I listened to all the AM talk radio guys. Even what's his name? Scott Farrell, the AM talk sports talk guy.
Okay.
And I don't like sports, and I still Man. Listen to him because I
That's
like his
so
voice.
Funny. That's
yeah.
great.
I listen to lots of talk radio, and talk radio has been my biggest inspiration for years.
Oh, that's so awesome.
Yeah. Still to this day, mm-hmm. I love it. I think it's such a fantastic medium and format, and it's why I do a podcast as
sure.
well. Yeah.
Right. Did you ever listen to Tom Likas? Have you ever heard him? I don't even think he's not on anymore, is he?
He kind of has an internet show now.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Oh, you would go nuts.
He's
you
offensive,
would go
right?
bananas.
Yeah.
But it's funny. Like, it's really funny, but like, yeah, he's... I mean, how would you describe
it? his content changed over time. When I first started listening to him, I was 16 years old, and his content, he was just very sharp, witty rants about mm-hmm. things, very similar to my style of writing
right.
and my
yeah.
voice.
Uh-huh.
And then over time, I think he got a lot of popularity with a type of format he did for a show called Likas 101.
Mm-hmm.
And Likas 101 was basically his advice to men on how to get laid and how to treat women and his philosophies, which I think a lot of times were wrong, evidence of which is that he's been divorced 4 times.
He basically was like, "Yeah, treat women like shit. Like, you know, why do they matter?" But
them and dump them.
Yeah,
he always come out
vagina money.
Like, dump that bitch.
Yes. Exactly.
That was like that became, and then that's what his show became over the years. And one thing that I think Tom over the years stopped doing, which I look down upon, is he stopped criticizing his fans. It used to be where a dumb caller was a dumb caller. Mm-hmm. It didn't matter if they were your fan or not. And I still do that to this day. And I still look at Tom like this with a lot of reverence because he did inspire a lot of a lot of my earlier writing. But I still, when I have my podcast, I get voicemail, people who call in, and I get some of the dumbest callers. And sometimes they're my fans.
Yeah.
I understand they're my fans. Uh-huh. I get it. Thank you for your support. But what you're saying is really, really stupid.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I totally get it.
Yeah. So let me fix that for you.
So can you tell us some fan stories? I'm sure you have plenty, either in person or just some crazy stories.
Oh, so many. Mostly from when I went on book tour, that's when I met some of these guys, some of these weirdos. I met so many crazy people, so many crazy experiences. I had fans who would come up to me and just want me to sign everything from like body parts to prosthetic limbs, to surfboards, motorcycles. I signed someone's car. Some kid wanted me to spray paint him. Another kid wanted me to cut him. There was a kid who came here in Los Angeles, actually. Okay. I did a signing in Los Angeles at the Borders, which is no longer around, unfortunately. Yeah. But the Borders by the Howard Hughes Mall down by the airport. This kid came up to me and he's like, "Hey Maddox, I did something for you." I'm like, "Okay, is it?" And he puts his hand down and I'm looking at it and he had scratched my logo into his hand. So, and you could tell it was kind of like scabbed over. I'm like, why would you do that? That's so weird. And this kid, I could tell something was off because when people blink, you don't really notice. But when they don't blink, you notice.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
This kid wasn't blinking. Mm. And I just
you're like, okay, thanks.
Very weird dude. Some of my fans are very sheltered. Some of them are very, very cool. I've made really good friends with some of my fans.
That's awesome.
Real life friends.
That's how you started this interview, right? You didn't have friends and you went to improv. And so this is another version of how you created
friends. Yeah. Yeah. And I've made some really great friends through my fans.
So after this, can you sign my butt?
Like, absolutely, are you cool? Yes.
Okay.
Absolutely. It's going
to
happen.
Wait, no, but I want don't to do ask him to sign your jade.
No.
I think David
that
would draw.
First, though.
David would draw the line at that.
I don't have it in, but maybe I'll send it to you. It's so funny.
Remember that guest we had on that had the unusual museum
where
people would do? Did you hear of this one? What was it called?
Museum of Broken Relationships. It's in LA.
Oh, interesting.
And and it was so cool.
So cool. Yeah, people would donate their
memorabilia from
like
breakups.
Love letters. One of them was a car.
What, one was breast implants.
Breast implants.
Because she felt like she got it from her boyfriend and she's like, fuck this, we broke up. So she sends it. It's all like mutilated.
And it's in the museum.
Yeah. And then the Jeep they said that they got. Yeah. Someone donated a car because they're like, I don't want this. It represents, you know, my significant other. And some weird stuff.
Yeah.
Some but
weird
stuff. Oh, belly button lint. I think she said
belly
was,
button lint.
Yes, was one of them.
Gross.
Yeah.
Yeah, people keep weird shit.
Absolutely.
People do keep weird shit, but it's so much fun, the things that you keep when you're younger, and if you find that box, like recently found, like, why was I saving that?
Mm-hmm.
You know, just silly stuff. Mm. So how long has this book been out? What was the publishing date?
It just came out in October.
Very new. Very new.
Yeah, it just came out, and I'm the most proud of this book of anything I've ever written.
Wow.
It's my best writing, I think, by far. There's some chapters in there especially that I'm especially proud of.
I was going to ask you, which one, I know it's probably too hard to pick, but of all of these, because there are many of them, do you have your top two favorites, your top two favorite rants?
Yeah, I like, there's one in particular I did that's kind of poignant. In fact, when I first wrote the book, it was more poignant than funny. And it was, you know, I sent it to my editor and we both felt that way. And we had to come up with a different kind of conceit for this book. Mm-hmm. So then I went back and I wrote some funnier rants. And that's where Fuck Whales came from. And I thought, well, I'm going back to my roots. What did I used to always bitch about whales. And I never properly took them down. These were cursory topics I'd occasionally talk about. But I thought I've never really done it justice. So one of my favorite chapters, a more poignant one, is fuck abstractions. That's one of my so I talk about how people take concrete problems and then turn them abstract, which makes them more difficult, if not impossible, to solve. Like, for example, the war on terrorism. That's even that one. Actually, that's not a good example. I would say the war on Christmas. Okay, so the war on Christmas is a good abstract one. Uh-huh. If you have the war on Christmas, like, what is the actual problem? Because I see Christmas everywhere, and it's always being celebrated, and people move that. Okay, mm-hmm. So instead of saying the war, then there's the war on children and the mm-hmm. war on drugs and all these different wars. And then that has shifted in our culture and society to the culture of. So it's no longer the war on, mm-hmm. but it's the culture of. So now we are in a culture of violence. Mm. We are in a culture of hatred, a culture of whatever. Yeah, drugs. Mm-hmm. And then I get to rape, which is something that they talk about, the culture of rape. We're in a rape culture. Mm. And I thought, well, I looked into this philosophy and this theory, and RAIN, the Anti-Rape and Abuse and Incest Network, mm-hmm. They came out very strongly against this concept of the culture of rape.
Yeah.
Because what you're doing by talking about the culture is you're shifting the onus of responsibility from the rapist to society.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And now, instead of having a concrete individual that you can blame and put in jail and prosecute, now
it's a systemic problem.
It's a systemic problem, and he may be a victim. Mm-hmm. So now you've turned the perpetrator into a victim. Which is a very dangerous and damaging thing to do. Sure. I think it's very, very scary when mm-hmm. we go down that path where we start to justify and rationalize criminal behavior. Mm-hmm. So that's one of my favorite chapters in the book, which I don't think people saw coming. And then mm-hmm. Fuck ants is one of my other favorite chapters. And so there's a blend of those type of books. And uh-huh. ants, I just thought about them one day, and I thought, there is nothing impressive about an ant.
Yes.
Not a single thing. They've been around for millions of years, longer than humans. They've accomplished nothing. They keep digging holes.
What about cockroaches? There's not a fuck cockroaches.
If I had more time and a longer book, they would definitely make the list. There. There'd be a lot more animals in there. There's only three animal related things. There's fuck
he
horses.
Went after dogs.
No, oh. Dog lovers.
Dog
important
lover.
Distinction.
Dog lovers.
Uh-oh. I got to call under the table
you
guys, now.
You may
exactly.
have lost a fan.
No,
that may
but
have been.
I love it. It's so funny.
I like dogs. I like
right.
dogs.
But
my criticism of dogs is that they are loyal to a fault, which is not a good thing. I mean,
oh, yes,
of,
that's right. You were saying that in the
they'll
yeah.
stay.
Yeah,
yes.
and that, yeah. And also, if you are committing marital infidelity in your bedroom, your dog will just watch.
Right.
Right? And then your dog will still love you just the same.
Totally.
That's a terrible thing. And then I thought, like, dictators have had dogs, sociopaths, serial killers. Hitler had a dog.
Yes, he did.
Hitler's mm-hmm. dog, Blondie. German Shepherd, of course.
I wonder how he treated his dog.
He loved his dog, loved and his so dog. Did his lieutenants.
I heard he was so great to his wife. There was a stand-up that I saw, and he was so nice to his wife. And the comic said, "If only I could find a Hitler." That's what she said. That was the joke, because he treated his wife so well.
You know, though, his wife Eva yeah. hated Hitler's dog, and she like I read this account from Hitler's maid. Where uh-huh. she said that Eva would kick the dog under the table, and this is really interesting. But in Hitler's last days in the bunker, uh-huh. he was super depressed. And I was reading up on what happened to Hitler's dogs because turns out when I was doing research on this, I go down these rabbit holes and I found this like white nationalist forum that was trying to track down Hitler's dogs because they wanted to have one of Hitler's puppies.
Oh,
and so,
oh my god!
It's like the dumbest thing. And so I'm reading like these idiots like trying to yeah. track down Hitler's dog. I'm like, how would you even do that? And so then I read up on what happened to Hitler's dog. So in his final days in the bunker, mm-hmm. Hitler was losing the war on all fronts. Everything was bad. He became really paranoid, mm-hmm. and he thought that even he couldn't trust his closest advisors. Mm-hmm. And so one of his advisors, I think it was Himmler, gave him a cyanide capsule that he should take if the Allies ever started mm-hmm. to close in on his location. And Hitler became paranoid and distrustful of his closest allies. So he thought, well, I'm going to test this pill.
On the dog?
On the dog. He gave one of the tablets to his dog, and sure enough, the dog died.
Aww.
And so
He
killed his own dog in his final moments, and he became incredibly depressed
oh,
after that.
Right.
And so did all his crew, because they all loved that dog. And also, now they realize Hitler doesn't trust them. And so, in his final moments, this monster of monsters, his last act is to kill his own dog.
Oh, that is so upsetting.
Yeah. Anyway, that's why you don't see Hitler's dogs puppies, thankfully, in white nationalists.
Right,
groups.
Exactly.
Gosh.
Do you realize how this conversation has gone every which way? I love it. Like, we've talked about Hitler, we've talked about automatic toilets, bendy straws. Like, it's covered
bendy
everything.
Straws. I love that. I'll never look at a straw in the same way again.
Right.
You know, straws are dangerous, too. If you're, like, not paying attention, you lean down to get something, the straw.
Yes,
you
keep going.
Yeah, this convenience, this luxury that you have is going to make you go blind. And, you know, I already have a straw. It's called my throat. I just drink. It's great. It works great.
It's so funny.
Well, a lot of the public parks and stuff are not allowing straws anymore, like the SeaWorlds and things like that.
Really?
Yeah, because people toss them in with the animals.
Oh, that's awful.
They're saying that these end up in landfills and so on. Uh-huh. There's a LA legislator who has proposed a law that would outlaw, that would actually fine people. If you get a straw and you didn't ask for it, you can get a $6,000 fine and a year in jail. I don't know if that's going through, but I think that's fantastic.
Yeah.
You should double the fine, make it 2 years and $12,000.
Wow.
No more straws. I'm done with them. And it's not even an environmental thing. I like straight straws.
I was just going to say, what if it's a straight straw?
I'm okay with that.
Okay.
Yeah. It's just okay, good, because I have a straight straw.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Straight straws are fine.
Yeah.
Or those ridiculously bendy straws. Those are fun.
Okay.
Yeah.
The
curl.
The game ones. Like, it's like a game, right? To see how hard you have to suck to get any liquid up.
Yeah, because that stands in defiance of reason.
Yes.
Right? Why would anyone make this?
Yeah, exactly. I totally got it.
Silly.
Right.
If it starts catching on and that's all you can get, like if you go to Ralph's now, it's difficult to find straight straws. They're all these bendy straws.
Oh, well, McDonald's still has straight straws, and the fast food places
have
straight straws.
Right.
They're probably cheaper to make. Right?
Yeah. Oh, I
confess that I probably use the same straw over about 400 times before I use a new one.
Hmm. What? You save it?
Well, you know that I go and get my free iced teas.
Oh, and so you just...
Oh.
You got to keep the straw in and the cap.
And then I love it.
And throw a little ice in there.
Right, exactly. Oh, interesting. I like it.
I just said that on...
National,
radio.
Exactly, yeah.
Now they'll be
busted. You're out.
Well, when you get busted, you just simply said, well, I was intending to pay for the refill. How much is it?
Uh-huh. Right.
That's well, it. Don't you think it's ridiculous? Here, talk about a rant. You buy a friggin' McDonald's, right? Thankfully, now they're 99 cents, but some of the other ones, Jack in the Box, a large.
Yeah.
$2.60 or something, right? And that costs them less than a penny. I don't want to throw the plastic or the paper away because it's reusable. So we save the old plastic liners because they don't have plastic, some of like McDonald's. You put it in the paper cup and so you can keep refilling that. So after about 50 refills, I feel like they deserve another buck. I'm fair.
It's funny, people's like rationalizations with things. Do you know what I mean? It's really interesting. Like people get like very, you know, like horse blinders. Like, yes, this is the way it should be. And
I know it's wrong, but it started on a mission driving to Mammoth. I wanted to see how many McDonald's I could go into with the same cup.
How many?
Whenever I saw one, I stopped and got one.
Infinite.
Nobody
no
cared.
One's going to stop you. No one's going to stop you.
Yeah, that's interesting.
Oh, no, I haven't stopped.
Really?
You have?
Yes.
Someone stopped you?
Well, poor Christopher, he's my guy. He was going to the Jack in the Box on the way to work every day, and the manager started looking for him.
Oh,
and so they were waiting for him to come in.
No.
And then they said, you know, these are not free. And he goes, I was happy to pay for the refill because no one ever asked for it.
Oh, my God.
Oh, that's
pretty crazy.
Huh.
Yeah. So
you're making his material. Like, you know this going forward.
I am. I'm giving him material.
Yeah, for sure.
Hopefully. Oh, my gosh.
Yes. I was just going to say, we're about to. Can you tell us what's next for you? We're so curious.
So I just started a live news show that I'm doing on my YouTube channel.
Oh, nice.
Live news broadcast. And there isn't a ton of live content on YouTube, especially that's well produced. So I'm doing a live news show every Friday at around 6 p.m. Pacific. So you can tune
awesome.
In.
Okay,
yeah,
cool.
If you subscribe, you just search for Maddox on YouTube or the best show in the universe. And then subscribe, hit the bell, you'll get the notification. You'll see a live news program that I'm doing. And I'm controlling everything. I'm doing the slides, the pictures, the graphics. And I have a producer I work with, Stan in Arkansas, who actually runs a news show himself. He's been helping out a lot, too.
Oh, that's
so
awesome.
It's a lot
that's
of
awesome.
Fun. Yeah, and I have live chats and everything. And I interact with people and their stupid comments. It's great.
I love this. So. And where can people find you on Instagram and all your social media stuff?
Maddox Rules, or the Real Maddox.
I think was
Real
was
Maddox
in, was Instagram.
Yeah, Instagram is Real Maddox. Yeah, and then you can check out the podcast at madcastmedia.com. It's called The Best Debate in the Universe. It's a debate themed podcast. We debate a topic, and then the listener votes on who the winner is.
Oh, I have to see that. Awesome. Amazing.
Oh my gosh. You have been incredible. Hysterical.
Thank you.
So much fun. Thanks. Great to meet you.
You too.
You're going to sign our books.
Absolutely.
Yes. Okay. No, my butt. Your book.
Oh, yeah.
Butts and books.
I'll go with a book. You go with a butt. Okay.
Awesome. So, all right. Who's next week?
Next week, we have the author of From Anxiety to Love, A Radical New Approach for Letting Go of Fear and Finding Lasting Peace by... would you say it's Corinne?
Corinne, I think.
Corinne?
What a dichotomy. It's like we have Maddox, and then we have like...
fear and anxiety.
Ooh, sweet and like gentle.
We have to switch it up now and again. Yeah, you don't want our listeners to get bored.
Right.
Okay, guys, thank you so much for listening.
Bye-bye.
Love you. Bye-bye.
You're listening to the Dr. Deborah and Therapist Kelly Show, only on LA Talk Radio.